Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
The blood washed away, but the guilt never does. Welcome to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring psychotherapist and author Siobhan Scott.
Why is it that we're in such a place where we have this culture of we'd rather blame somebody for all of our problems rather than cope? I mean, I feel like we are lacking coping skills dramatically in this country.
Yeah.
And we'd rather go blame. It's somebody else's fault. And it's so easy to do it online because you'll find other people who feel they've been wronged. And it just snowballs. And nobody ever wants to look at themselves and go, maybe I'm part of the problem. Or maybe something I've done put me into this position and maybe I should change some ways. So maybe I'm a happier human being. But rather, I'm just going to blame until I eventually blow up and do horrible, horrible things. That to me, I think is, you know, when we go more of a 10,000 foot level on this, that seems to be take religious ideology out of it because it could be ISIS, it could be incel, it could be whatever you feel the world has done to you that was a wrong. And then they go into these obsessive tendencies and then that's just where they sit. That's something that feels like it's changed in our culture over the last 20, 30 years. We're personal responsibility doesn't seem to exist that much. And we don't really ask it out of others as well.
Yeah. There's this tendency to put the blame external all the time. And I do think there's been a cultural shift in that way. And again, they get in these online groups where it's all about us versus them, the holy people versus the unholy people. And it is a dramatically warped way of processing the world.
Yeah, these folks, and obviously we're just kind of speculating right here, there's a difference between, it feels like these two and like a Luigi Mangione. Luigi Mangione survived the United Healthcare shooting. He went on the run and then they got him. So he's able to sit there and smirk in court and, you know, be the narcissistic asshole that he is. But with these two, they died. That's where it kind of strikes similarities to more of like the 9/11 hijackers and such. They knew it was over. And I'm going to assume these two probably knew it was over as well, considering one sat in the truck when it blew up and the other one was in the truck kind of knowing eventually this is not going to work out. Is that grandiose? Is that look at me? Or is that, I mean, what is that?
I think the difference is the culture that they were immersed in. You know, often in Arab countries, after there has been an ISIS attack, they share pictures of the murderers and they venerate them. And so there's this public, you know, what would we call it, worship that goes on. And if you have a religious belief system where you think you're going to be alive and observing this later from heaven or wherever, that, again, most of us would look at that and think, well, you know, I'm not gonna give up my life for that vision. But there's this belief system within their culture that they're going to be having a great time in heaven and watching this veneration. And so it feeds their ego in that way. And also maybe Mangione was a bit smarter. You know, and had a different vision for how he thought he could make this turn out.
Yeah, I guess when you have the vision that death is going to be better than life.
Yes.
That kind of explains a lot of it. And if your life is so horrible, I mean that's suicide, you know, sometimes where it's well, this will be, at least I won't be in pain. I'll be better somewhere else.
Right.
I guess it's a way of them looking at this as I'm not just going out, you know, on my own. I'm going out and I'm doing it for a cause, and it's going to be more grandiose. Surprise, it's not.
But
that's a surprise. It seems that none of them really can quite grasp.
Yeah, it's you know, I feel like I'm consistently confronted with the non-rational nature of most of humanity. And some of us have little moments of irrationality, but there are whole, you know, large groups of people who find each other and their thinking just veers off in ways that make no sense.
Yeah. Obviously, far more questions than we're ever going to have answers on people like this. We'll never really truly have answers because it's hard to get into the mind of somebody like that. But obviously, it keeps going, and there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of slowdown. Is there any way, I mean, when you look at something like this, this stuff just continues to get more and more rampant. Obviously, other countries have seen more of this than we have in the last several decades, but we're starting to see far more of it here. How do you get ahead of this? How do you break this? How do you, you know, especially with a culture that is not here, that we don't have a lot of control over, and, you know, a world that can communicate to any place in it at any point in time?
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, the big place I see to intervene is coming up with ways to monitor people online. And I know that the FBI is trying to do that, you know, sending, undercover people online into some of these spaces. I think it's happening particularly in this country now with, you know, the white supremacy groups. And so trying to catch it early, because a lot of these people do telegraph online, you know, as the one in New Orleans apparently posted videos indicating what he was going to do. And so I think we have to empower law enforcement to investigate these groups in these spaces, as they've done with the KKK in the past. And we need to try to catch it on the pathway to violence. There's always that pathway where it starts with this collection of grievances, this immersion into ideology, then focusing obsessively on the planning, and then ultimately the steps that they take to the actual attack. And so you want to interrupt it as soon on the path as you can. And I think that's going to involve law enforcement and, you know, going undercover and trying to find these things. That's another thing that often doesn't hit the news: how many attacks are interrupted. And I think we have to give credit when that happens. And we probably don't give enough credit to that. But yes, many of them do get interrupted beforehand. But it doesn't bode well for the new year. It's an unsettling way to start.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
You're in the thick of a true crime saga, every detail sinking in. And then, wham, a commercial about something you couldn't care less about. It's like being served a microwaved dinner at a five-star restaurant. But it doesn't have to be this way. Go for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. With True Crime Today Premium Plus, you get uninterrupted, ad-free episodes, extended interviews that dig even deeper into the muck, and early access so you can brag to your friends. It's like ordering the secret menu at a crime buffet. So, search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and savor every twisted detail without interruption.